I'm going to preach a three-point sermon this morning. And in seminary, they said that was the traditional model. We did that. The pastor was supposed to fit every important fact into three snippets so that when you got home, you could say, yeah, I remember point number one and point number two and point number three. Now, I don't always, as you all know, I don't always use a three-point sermon, but today, because it is Resurrection Sunday, I'm going to stick with just 3 points. And so when we get there, I want you to write them down because they're very potent, all three of them. Because Jesus really staked his reputation on the resurrection. If it didn't happen, everything that Jesus said and did is up for question. The resurrection is the supreme miracle of Christianity. It's at the heart of our faith. If it never happened, Christianity collapses. It's just another myth. Billions of people have been deceived. But if it did happen, it authenticates everything that Jesus did and everything that he said. And believers have the guarantee of eternal life and forgiveness of their sins because of the resurrection. Because, let's face it, millions and billions of people have died. Right? But there's only one who's died and come back and is alive forevermore. That's the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, our faith is worthless. It's worthless. The resurrection is either one of the most wicked, heartless, vicious hoaxes ever, or it's the most fantastic fact of history. The overwhelming proof is that Jesus did exactly what he predicted he would do. He rose from the dead. Luke writes in Acts chapter 1, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. Many convincing proofs. And that's what I intend to do this morning. I'm going to present three pieces of evidence that when taken together will provide convincing proof that Jesus rose from the dead. And after a lot of soul searching, I came up with these 3 points. Remember, I asked you to write them down. You ready? Here's the first point. He is written, or risen. He is risen. You got that? Here's the second point. He is risen. That's the second point. You got that written down? All right. Here's the third point. He is risen. So you got all three of them. Can you recite them back to me? What are they? I know they're a little bit difficult, but let's hear.
He is risen. He is risen.
Thank you. That's marvelous. That's going to be, so you can be able to go home, talk to your family, talk to your friends, go out for dinner, and you can just give them those 3 points and you got it going. So let's look at the first piece of evidence that he is risen. And it would be the empty tomb. The empty tomb. After he was crucified, he was placed in a solid rock tomb. Very large stone rolled in front of it. Contingent of soldiers to guard it, sealed. Matthew 27, verse 66 says, the chief priests and the Pharisees with the guards went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. So it was pretty secure. And in spite of all these precautions, the stone, the soldiers, the seal, on Resurrection Sunday, the tomb was empty. It was empty. You know why they rolled the stone away? It wasn't to let people, or let Jesus out. It was to let everybody know he wasn't in there. He was gone. It is a powerful testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Critics down through the years have not been able to refute the empty tomb. They've tried. They've come up with all kinds of crazy possibilities. Let me give you a few. Maybe the disciples stole the body. Well, if that were true, the disciples would have had to overpower the armed soldiers, roll away that boulder, and then dispose of the body, and then manufacture a myth about the resurrection, a myth that, oh, by the way, they gave their lives for. Here's another possibility. The religious leaders disposed of the body. I don't know who came up with that one. That has to be one of the stupidest I've read. If they had removed the body, all they would have had to do was parade it down the streets of Jerusalem, and that would have, Christianity would have fallen completely apart right there. But they couldn't produce the body. You know why? Because he wasn't dead. Jesus had been raised to life again. You see, Christianity either rises or falls on the empty tomb. It all comes there. It's the one silent, infallible witness that critics cannot explain away. They just can't do it. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then where's the body? Leaders from every religion all down through history died and are dead, and their bones are rotting in the ground someplace. But that's not the case with Jesus. He claimed that he would rise from the dead, and that's exactly what he did. He came up. In Mark 8:31, Jesus said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again." Remember what Jesus said about his life in John 10? "My Father loves me because I laid down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it up again." Wow. So point number one. He is risen. The empty tomb shows it. Here's point number two. He is risen. Multiple witnesses can say that. The early Christians didn't believe Jesus had risen because of the empty tomb. They saw him with their own eyes. They didn't have to go and say, you know, when we talk about the Lord Jesus, we saw the empty tomb. No, they said we saw Jesus alive. We saw him alive after his passion is what one way to put it. Jesus gave unquestionable proof that he was alive. After his resurrection, he appeared to Mary in the cemetery. That same day, he walked through closed doors and talked with his disciples who were huddled in Jerusalem. Later that evening, he walked side by side with two men on the road to Emmaus. And by the way, next week, I'm going to talk or preach on that. He appeared to believers. He appeared to doubters. He appeared to tough-minded people. He appeared to tender-hearted souls. The Apostle Paul says, "For I've received what I'm passing on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." That's how strong the case for the resurrection is. Over 500 different individuals were willing to testify that they had seen Christ alive. The early church can say, "If you don't believe us, you can ask the guys that saw him. They're all over the place." Peter was one of those eyewitnesses, and he got up one day and preached his first sermon. It's recorded in Acts chapter 2. That's a copy of his sermon notes if you wanted to go look at his sermon and what he preached. It's a marvelous sermon. And in Acts 2:32, he says, "God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact." People knew the tomb was empty and that Jesus had appeared to 500 people. It was a verifiable fact. And Peter wanted his readers to know that he didn't make the resurrection up. He saw Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He had a fish fry with Jesus on the beach. I mean, he did all kinds of things with Jesus. And in his second epistle, he says, "We did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Eyewitnesses. So point number one, he is risen. The empty tomb shows that. Point number two, he is risen. Multiple witnesses said that. But there's one more piece of evidence for the resurrection. Point three, he is risen. He is risen and changed lives show it. Changed lives. Those who met the resurrected Lord Jesus had their lives totally transformed. Totally. Something happened to radically change that original group of followers. After Jesus was put to death, you remember there was great fear that came onto the disciples. And they were all gathered in a locked room on the top floor of a building. They were filled with fear. Their leader had been executed. What was going to happen to them? John chapter 20 says, "Then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came, stood in the midst, and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' Then the disciples were glad that they saw Jesus." There you go. Instead of confronting the disciples for not standing with him in his time of need, he comes walking in. Well, he didn't come walking in, he came through the door. And I don't mean he opened the door and came through, he just came through the door. And he said, "Peace be with you." Their fear was replaced with joy. Peter was changed from a coward who had denied Jesus three times to a man who became one of the pillars of the church. These ordinary men were transformed from frightened wimps into one of the most effective missionary organizations the world has ever seen. 12 men that changed the world. So let me ask you a question. What motivated these guys to go everywhere and proclaim the message of Christ? Was it for money? How about power? No. How about fame? No. No, it was none of those things. Every one of them had come from doubt to determination, from confusion to conviction, from fear to faith. Listen to how these men died. Matthew was killed in Ethiopia. Mark was dragged through the streets until he was dead. Peter, Simeon, Andrew, and Philip were crucified. James was beheaded. Bartholomew was flayed alive. Thomas was pierced with lances. James the Less was thrown from the temple and stoned to death. Jude was shot to death with arrows, and Paul was boiled in hot oil and then beheaded. That's how the disciples gave their lives. Do these guys sound like they made up the resurrection? I don't think so. The only thing that could have changed their lives so dramatically was that Jesus was alive. He was. Every one of these guys could have lived, and all they would have had to say was, "He's dead. He's dead." But they refused because they knew that that wasn't true. Paul said, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, but Christ is risen from the dead." Their lives were changed. His power transformed people from every race, from every tribe, from every language, and every nationality in the world. Despite the various intellectual social backgrounds, believers are united in one solid voice. Christ Jesus is alive. And it is His life. His changing power is just as available to us as it was to those guys back then. Joss McDowell wrote a book. It was called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Any of you know of that book? You ought to get it. It's a great book. Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Well, you've heard the evidence. How can you explain away the empty tomb? You can't. How do you argue against the multiple witnesses? You can't. How do you get away from the fact that the resurrected Christ changes lives? You can't. The evidence is overwhelming, and it demands a verdict. So what's your verdict on the resurrection? It's time that we all make that decision in our lives to encounter the living Lord for yourself. Remember, I've said so many times, God doesn't have any grandkids. You're either a child or you're not. Just because your family is Christian doesn't make you Christian. You have to do it individually. If you want irrefutable proof of the resurrection, then let Jesus change your life. That'll give you the proof you need. Turn to Him and embrace the living Lord Jesus. The tomb is empty because He's risen. Do you know it? I mean, do you really, deep down in your soul, know it? If you do, then you've got to do what Jesus said. Go, don't be afraid. Go and tell. Go and tell. And for those of us who have experienced His grace, who are saved by the sacrifice on the cross, who know His power in our lives, we need to go tell the world that Christ the Lord is risen today. This is a perfect day for being able to say that. It is Resurrection Sunday. So let our words proclaim the good news of the gospel. Let our actions prove the good news of the gospel. Let's tell the world what the angel told Mary. I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen as He said. The empty tomb describes it. The many witnesses declare it. And the changed lives demonstrate it. Point number one, He is risen. Point number two, He is risen. Point number three, praise His holy name, He is risen. Amen? Let's pray.